Good evening to our Central Baptist Church friends, family, and viewers. Today is Wednesday, June the 17th, and we're glad that you're joining us for our Wednesday evening Bible study. If you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn, if you would, to the book of John, chapter 21. We're going to be looking at some scriptures out of John, chapter 21. As we gather around the Lord's Word tonight, we trust and pray that that you are doing well. We want to remind folks we are currently meeting at the church on Sunday mornings at 10:45. We are having several different venues. We're doing live streaming, so if you're not able to get out or if you live somewhere other than here, please join us by live stream on our public Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina page. If you are in the area and you do feel comfortable getting out, we are having the opportunities to meet, and we spread out three different ways. If the weather's good and you like sitting outside, you can bring your own chair and sit on the lawn. If you're not getting out of your car yet, you can come pick a parking spot. You'll still be able to hear our message broadcast through loudspeakers in the parking lot. Or if you feel comfortable coming in, we do have our multi-purpose venue open. We're asking that you bring your own chair for that as well, so that we can amply social distance in that area. We've had a lot of folks who have joined us there. That's actually where we're doing our live stream from on Sunday mornings. But we also have our sanctuary open. This facility, this beautiful facility that I'm coming to you from tonight, is our sanctuary. If you want to come in here, feel free to do so. The broadcast is simulcasted, so you'll see it on the screen, but plenty of room to spread out. We'd love to have you if you feel comfortable in getting out. Tonight we want to look at some passages of how the Lord teaches us lessons. You know, I've continued to say that throughout this pandemic that I believe God is teaching us not only individually but corporately as well some very important lessons, and He makes sure He takes care of every single little detail along the way. And that's one of the things we want to look at tonight that Peter kind of came about. If you've got your Bible, look with me at John chapter 21. We're going to begin reading at verse 3. John chapter 21, beginning with verse 3. It says, "Then Simon Peter said to them, 'I am going fishing.' They said to him, 'We are going with you also.' They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, 'Children, have you any food?' They answered him, 'No.' And he said to them, 'Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some.' So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish which you have just caught.' Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. And Jesus said to them, 'Come and eat breakfast.' Yet none of the disciples dared to ask him, 'Who are you?' knowing that it was the Lord. And then Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord. You know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord. You know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Let's pray together. Father, you're good to us. As we come to you tonight, Lord, we pray that that you will truly help us to, as believers, take on the same challenge that that you gave Peter, to feed your sheep. Lord, I pray that that you will help us to understand individual lessons through your word that you have for us tonight as we gather around these passages in the book of John. Lord, just speak to us as only you can. Meet us where we are. And Lord, this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when I think about these particular passages, I think about what Peter had already gone through. Now, we're talking about at this particular point in the scriptures, Jesus had already been crucified and resurrected. So we're talking about the resurrected Christ. And most of us know of the history of what led up to the resurrection, how Peter had acted, as well as many of his disciples. So I want you to think tonight for just a moment. Ask yourself a question. You could probably envision it in your mind. But think about it this way. Have you ever let somebody down? In other words, somebody was counting on you, and you either didn't fulfill what it was that you said that you were going to fulfill, but the bottom line was, you know that you let somebody that you love and care about down very much. How did that make you feel? Well, I'm imagining that Peter had some of that same thing going on in his life, that same feeling that we're talking about that we have when we have let somebody down. Because in this particular passage, Simon had let Jesus down, and he had done so when he denied him three times leading up to the cross. If you remember, Peter always talked really, really big and bold. In fact, there were times when he was. If you remember, he's the one who cut the ear off of the soldier when they actually came after Jesus. But then here, when Jesus is not there with him, he's been arrested. He denies the Lord on three different occasions. And imagine how he must have felt, particularly when he heard the rooster crow, because Jesus told him, he said, yeah, Peter, even though you sit back and say that you won't deny me, you'll actually deny me three times before morning, or three times before the rooster crows. And Peter did that. Could you imagine, as he heard that rooster crow, the feelings that must have been going through his heart and his mind, knowing that as he had stood so boldly and said, Jesus, I'll never deny you, he had done exactly that, not only once, but three times before morning. There had to have been some disappointment that was going on with Peter. And you and I know how that feels, because there have been times in our lives when we know that we've disappointed somebody. And we know that indescribable feeling that we get of disappointment within ourselves, that disappointment that we have just because we didn't do what we said we were going to do, or we knew that somebody was counting on us. And Peter must have felt that way after he had denied Christ. So when we look at this, we know that Peter had been a fisherman. And I don't know whether this scripture is talking about the fact that he had gone back to his old profession or not, but we do know at any rate that he was out there, he was fishing. This is something that he was familiar with. This is something that he was doing prior to following Jesus. So this is something that should come pretty natural and pretty automatic to him, as we might think. So we see him getting back into a place of comfort. I've said so many times, we've got to be very, very careful that we don't become so comfortable where we are that we're not willing to go when Jesus moves us. COVID-19 has taken us completely out of our comfort zone in so many different areas. In fact, preaching to a camera is something very, very unfamiliar to me. It's really outside of my comfort zone. But yet it is something that the Lord has us doing at this particular point, because there are some things he wants to show us. In the same way, there were some lessons that he wanted to show Peter. There were some things that he wanted him to know, and he will line them all up. This passage is proof positive that Jesus is in the details, no matter what happens and no matter what takes place. So when we pick the story up, Peter says he's going fishing. They're out there. They haven't had a very successful fishing trip. Verse 4 says, but when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. They had fished all night. They hadn't caught anything. I don't know how you are. I know that particularly with me, I'm not really in a good mood if I've been out fishing, particularly if I've been out all night and I haven't caught anything. I feel like I've wasted the whole night. I don't know what Peter and the other disciples' attitudes were at that particular point, but probably not in a good mood. They've been out all night. They're probably tired. They're ready to kind of call it a day, maybe get a little bit of sleep. Not only that, knowing that they didn't have anything to eat because they hadn't caught anything. And then in verse 5, it says that Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" That would almost be like rubbing salt into a wound if you were in that boat, because they knew that they hadn't caught anything. And Jesus knew they hadn't caught anything. So he's asking them, "Have you got any food?" Now, whether you call it a short answer or not, I like how it's written in the New King James. It says, in verse 5, they answered him, "No." Didn't give a whole lot of explanation. Didn't say the fish weren't biting. Didn't say it was a bad night. They just said, "Nope, we don't have any fish." Verse 6 says that all of a sudden, remember, they don't know this is Jesus at this point. This is just somebody that they're seeing over on the shore. And verse 6 says, "And he," being Jesus, "said to them, 'Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some.'" I mean, how does this guy know? Is he a fish finder? Once again, reminding you, they didn't know that this was Jesus at that particular point. But nonetheless, they did something very interesting. They went ahead and obeyed. They cast the net off to the right side of the boat. In the latter part of verse 6, it says, "So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish." Now, whether they were just fishing on the wrong side of the boat, which would be a great sermon title, fishing from the wrong side of the boat. On the left side of the boat, they've caught nothing and fished all night. Now they cast over on the right side, and not only did they catch fish, they caught more than the net really was designed to hold. It goes and tells us the numbers a little bit later on in this scripture. But one of the things that we know is that all of a sudden they had this bounty where they had nothing. Now, folks, I want to just point this out, not only here, but in another place in this particular scripture tonight, that Jesus is in the details of your life. Jesus is in the details of your job, your family, and everything that you do. He is in the details. He knew what was taking place with the disciples. He knew they hadn't caught any fish. In fact, it was probably at his hand that they had not caught any fish up to that point, because there was something that he wanted to teach them along the way. So they were obedient. Now, mind you, they didn't know who he was at the time, but they did cast on the right side of the boat, and it says that they caught this tremendous bounty. That said something in and of itself, because verse 7 goes on to say this. It says, "Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and he plunged into the sea." In other words, when he finds out this is Jesus, he wants to get where Jesus is. So instead of waiting for them to bring the boat into shore, you know, Peter's like, I'm going to go see. Peter was always that really excitable guy. He was always the one who would jump first and ask questions later. In a way, that can be a good quality. In a way, it can be a bad quality, because Peter was also the guy that by jumping first often opened his mouth and had to insert his foot along the way. But he wanted to get to where Jesus was. Not a bad commentary there as well. So he puts his outer garment on. He jumps in and he swims over to Jesus. And it says what the other disciples did in verse 8. It says, "But the other disciples came in the little boat," because they weren't far from land, but about 200 cubits, "dragging the net of fish." They weren't leaving behind the provision that God had left them, the provision that God had made for them. And in verse 9 it says, "Then as soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread." Now, a minute ago, this guy was hollering from over at the shore, asking them if they had any fish. They told him no. A few minutes later, they wind up coming over to the shore, and they see the grill is set up over there. It's got a nice fish breakfast on it, as well as some bread. Now, when did Jesus have the time to make that? Well, he's Jesus. He can make it whenever he wants to, or he can make it simply appear. But he had provision for them. Remember, the word told us that they had been out all night fishing and had caught nothing. They probably didn't have Vienna sausages and sardines and crackers and sodas or any of those things with them. So that meant if they didn't catch anything, that they were going to be going hungry. Jesus knew that. So when they came to the shore, he already had something there waiting for them. Once again, Jesus is providing the needs of his people. He knew they'd be hungry. He had fish sitting there grilled up, waiting and ready for them, as well as some bread. So instead of going hungry, they were going to have themselves a really good breakfast. And then he says this, and it's really interesting. As they saw this in verse 10, Jesus does something here that I think he does every day in your life and every day in my life. And too often we're so busy, we miss it. Notice in verse 10, it said, and Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Now, why would Jesus want to do that? Now, he's already evidently made some fish appear on the grill over there, and he could just by speaking it into existence can make it happen. But yet he did something very interesting. He asked the disciples, he said, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Jesus wants the disciples, as well as you and I, to participate in the miracles that he's doing. Jesus provided them the fish, but then not only had he given it to them, he said, now I've given you something to use. I want you to participate in some things that I'm doing. So you've got some fish. I've got a grill set up over here. Bring some of the fish, knowing that Jesus had already been the one that made provision for it. He says, I want you to be able to participate in some of the great things that I'm doing. Notice that again. Verse 10, Jesus said, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Jesus didn't rub it into their nose. Jesus didn't say, you guys fished all night and didn't catch anything. It wasn't until I told you where to fish. It wasn't until I told those fish to get in that net. It wasn't until I made it happen. He wasn't sitting there pointing the finger saying, you know, look at what I did. What he did was he allowed them to be rewarded through their obedience. And he said in verse 10, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Jesus set it all up. Folks, in your life and in my life, Jesus is in control of every single little detail. Those are some things that we have to remember. And when he tells us, he's asking us simply to be obedient. Think about what would have happened if the disciples would have said, we don't know who that guy is over there on the beach telling us. We're professional fishermen. We fished all night and hadn't caught anything. What makes him think that the right side of the boat's going to be any different than the left side of the boat? But they didn't do that. What they did instead was they cast to the right side in obedience and they caught fish. Sometimes the Lord's waiting on us to simply be obedient to what he has told us to do. Even when it may seem like the most crazy thing in the world to do. The question is, are we following our Lord and Savior? We're being obedient for him to open doors to some of the greater things that he wants to do in and through our lives. Verse 11 says, and Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. They even took account, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. We've been talking about Jesus being in the details. If they would have caught that many fish in a net, historically in that day, the net would have just ripped. All the fish would have gotten away. They wouldn't have even been able to have brought that to shore. So Jesus is in even the simple little details. It says that even after this large haul of fish, 153, even after they had brought it in so far, even with their nets, it says, and that little caveat is, the net was not broken. Why was the net not broken? It wasn't broken because Jesus didn't allow it to break. Now, folks, that's detail right there. Yeah, that's something that often we overlook about our Lord and Savior. Yeah, so many times we think that he can't even handle the big things, and he is in not only in the big things, he's even in the small, minute little details of what's going on in your life and what's going on in my life. And remember that. Listen, tonight, this is what I want you to remember, that Jesus is in every detail, large or small, of your circumstance or your situation, the thing that you're praying for, the thing that you need deliverance of, the thing that you are seeking him for. He is in the details. Listen and be obedient. May each and every one of us be obedient to the Lord's movement and sensitive to the Lord's movement in our lives. Verse 12 goes on, it says this, it says, Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you, knowing that it was the Lord. And then Jesus, verse 13, came and took bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. So now they're participating. Now the fish that Jesus allowed them to catch, the fish that Jesus said, bring some of your fish and let's cook it. Now they're going to sit down and have a meal. They are participating with Jesus in what he's got in store for them. And it says in verse 13, then Jesus came and he took the bread and he gave it to them and likewise the fish because he grilled it up for them. And this is the third time that he's shown himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Remember how we started our time this evening together was saying that this is after Jesus was crucified. This is after he was resurrected. And this is saying this is the third time that he has shown himself to his disciples after he'd been raised from the dead. And then an interesting conversation takes place. It says that after they had eaten, Jesus says to Peter, he says, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Now, I want us to ponder that particular question for just a moment because it could mean something completely different to you and I. When you ask that question in the context of looking at Jesus sitting around with his disciples and with Peter, and he says, do you love me more than these? It could have been that he was asking, do you love me more than you love these nets and the boat and the life of fishing? Because you got to remember that Peter used to be a fisherman. Do you love me more than these? Yeah, he asked you and I the same thing. What is it that is drawing us away from the Savior? What are the things that we are putting ahead of him? Is it our job? Is it some sort of recreation? Is it money? Is it even our families? What is it that we may be putting ahead of the Lord? Because he is going to ask you the exact same question that he asked Peter. Do you love me more than these? What will your answer be? How would you be able to answer that? Now, I'm not stating that that is the exact thing he was asking Peter about here, but it's certainly fitting for you and I today. And Simon says to him, in the latter part of verse 15, he says to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And then Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. And let's continue on with that dialogue. As verse 16 says, and he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, tend my sheep. Then he said it to him a third time. And a third time, kind of, it really got Peter's attention. The third time he says in verse 17, he said to him, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said this to him the third time. And he said, Lord, you know all things and you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. You know what he was telling him? Remember he told him before, he says, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. We're supposed to be evangelists. We're supposed to be, wherever we go, sharing the saving knowledge and grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The fact that Jesus isn't simply a good way to heaven. He is the only way to evangelize, something that in our day and age, we don't do like we used to. But not only was he saying that we're to be evangelists, not only was he saying that we're supposed to share the gospel, but he also said, tend my sheep. Not just feed them, but tend them. You know, when I think about this, I think about the role of a pastor. It's often called a shepherd, and which is true. When you think about a shepherd, what comes to mind is a man who's got a flock of sheep, and he's working with those sheep, and he makes sure that they're safe from danger, safe from trouble. When you look at it from a pastoral perspective, pastors are supposed to be evangelical. We are supposed to be preaching the gospel, but we're also charged with the responsibility of tending the sheep. You know, folks, discipleship, which has been so greatly overlooked in our day and age, is something that we really need to concentrate on. That is tending the sheep, feeding the flock. Now, I've said this so often because I heard it from our associate pastor years ago, and I still laugh when I think about his illustration that he mentioned one time while he was teaching. And he said, yeah, many times you've seen the picture of a little lamb and maybe a shepherd holding a little lamb. Maybe he's got a bottle and he's bottle feeding that little lamb. And that little lamb is just going to town on that bottle. But he said, but you've never seen a shepherd sitting on a chair with a 500-pound sheep across his lap, cramming grass down his throat. He says, no, there comes a point in a time where you have to learn to feed yourself. So I want to challenge you today, if you're part of our church, if you're part of a church period, or even if you're not part of a church, but if you're a believer, I want to encourage you and challenge you. Learn to feed yourself from the Word of God. Yeah, don't be that 500-pound sheep that somebody needs to cram grass down their throat. But we also need to be discipled. It is great to be able to come together. It is great to be able to join together as the people of God, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of God as we come together. So what a great, great time that is. Now, I want you to think about how Peter must have felt. Peter must have felt somewhat disqualified. I love the passages coming out of the resurrection story that we often preach at Easter, when Mary went down to the tomb and she saw the angel and said, yeah, Jesus is not here. He is risen just as he has said. And if you will remember what the orders were, it said, go back and tell his disciples and Peter. Why the and Peter? Well, because of what Peter had done, Peter probably felt like he was disqualified. He probably felt like he didn't deserve to be a disciple anymore. And Jesus needed Peter to know that he still had great plans for his life. Yeah, Jesus needed Peter to know that he was forgiven and that he still wanted to use him in a great and mighty way. Maybe you're here tonight and you're watching this video. And you're sitting there and you're saying, you know what? I have messed up. I have just completely messed my life up. I've done bad and wrong things. And there is no way that God could want to have anything to do with me. Let me promise you this. Yeah, if you could insert yourself in that story that we mentioned just a moment ago at the resurrection, your name would be included as well. Yet Mary, it would be Mary, go tell his disciples and Roy and John and Mary and Alice and Stephen and Marcus. Whatever your name is, you could put it in there, because I promise you that God is a God of grace. He is a God of forgiveness, and he is a God who is wanting to restore you and wanting to use you in the same way that he was telling Peter. He's like, Peter, I know you messed up. I know what you've done. I know you denied me. I even told you you were going to do that. But I'm not done with you yet. Now, I need you to pay attention to the details. What is our lesson that we can learn from these particular scriptures tonight? First of all, as we mentioned a moment ago, God is in every single detail of your life. Look for his hand. Look for his movement. And when you see it, when he tells you to do something, be obedient, immediately obedient. If he tells you, even though you've been fishing all night, cast on the right side, then cast on the right side, because you're going to see God do some incredible things when we're obedient to what he's called us to do. And then know the fact that he's got a plan for your life. Just like what he told Peter. He said, Peter, if you love me, here's what I want you to do. You're going to feed my sheep. He's not going to let him go back to fishing. He's not going to let him get away with something that is outside of his will. I know that I've shared this with many, many college students, as well as with my own son, and particularly lately. I've said this so many times because I've lived it and I've experienced it, that if God has a plan for your life, and he does, he is not going to let you do something outside of it, job-wise or anything else. He will get you where he wants you to be, much like Jonah. Jonah went the wrong way. God decided to give him a lift back to where he was supposed to be. But I'll also promise you this, you will never regret following the Lord. Word for word, step for step, you will never regret being in the center of his will. You might sit back and say, well, I don't want to do this, or I don't want to do that. It will be one of the greatest things that you've ever done. I promise you that being in the center of God's will do some incredible things in your life. God gave some marching orders to Peter. He let him know that he loved him. He let him know that he was in the details. He let him know that when he was obedient, he had great, great plans for him. And he will do the same thing for you and I. As you ponder these thoughts, as you go back and read John chapter 21, verses 3 through 17 once again today, and think about what the Lord's trying to tell you, because he's got a tailor-made message for you specifically tonight. Where are you? Are you fearing the details? He's got them. Are you fearing the obedience? You know, I'm tired, Lord. I fished all night. Just be obedient. He's got that. He's calling you. He's already taking care of the details. Your nets are going to be okay. Your nets are going to be full, and they're not going to be breaking as long as you follow him. And then you're going to enjoy the ride of your life being in the center of God's will. I trust and pray that that's where you can be. Let me have a word of prayer with you, and then we'll give you some announcements. I'll give you the scriptures for next week. Let's pray together. Father, you're good to us. We thank you for the fact that you are in the middle and the circumference of every situation all at the same time. You have called your children to be something great and special for you, and you've got a plan. It's not just we want you to get over here, but Lord, you've got each and every step ordered along the way. Help us to be careful and attentive to your leadership and your guidance in our hearts and in our lives, that we might be exactly where you want us to be, knowing that you've got every detail planned. Oh, Lord, I could tell stories. Thank you so much for what you have done in Cuba. Lord, even as I think about that now, how out of nothing you've provided food for them over there. God, you're so good and you're in the details. Help us to remember that and to rely on it as we go forward in our lives. May we seek you greater than we ever have, that we might truly feed the flock and tend the flock. For Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us tonight. Next week is actually going to be June the 24th. Let me go ahead and give you your Bible readings for this coming week leading into June the 24th. We're actually going to be looking at the book of Acts chapter 2 through Acts chapter 6. Once again, that's Acts chapter 2 through Acts chapter 6. I will post these on our site so that you'll have a chance to see them, as well as the Bible study. Next Wednesday, the 24th Bible study will be concentrated around Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 47, which is actually the beginning of the church, when the church was actually started and actually launched. So again, be sure to take each day, read one passage a day. That's what we're asking you to do, one of those chapters a day, and then join us back here as we gather around the scripture to learn more about what God has in store for us. I do want to remind you, this coming Sunday is Father's Day, so don't forget your dads. If you have a chance to be with them, be sure to do so. If not, call them, let them know that you love them. If your dad has already gone on to be with the Lord, be sure that you thank God for the way that you were raised and the men and the women that you are, because you had a good godly father in your life. What a blessing that truly is. I do want to remind folks, please maintain your giving to the church. Even though we're down, we still have the bills that we have to pay and ministries that are still actually flourishing, even though we're not meeting here. So three ways to give. You can, if you're in our area, you can drop it by the church during office hours, Monday through Thursday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. If you can also mail it, that's way number two. Our address here is, it's Central Baptist Church, P.O. Box 533, Oak Ridge, North Carolina, 27310. Or you could go with something that's actually much easier. If you're electronically inclined, you can go over to our website, which is www.oakridgecbc.org. And you can find a giving tab there. You can click on that. You can specify the amount. And that way, not only will you be continuing to worship the Lord as you give back to him, but the ministries of the church will continue on. Folks, listen, know we love you. Once again, we're praying for you. If you're feeling comfortable with being able to get back out in society, come join us this coming Sunday morning. If not, please join us by way of live stream. Know that we're praying for each and every one. May God bless you, and I pray that you have a great rest of your week.